Lord, I've studied hard and I've worked hard, so I'm going to buy myself a house somewhere in Welgemoed, a nice 3-bedroom house, and I'm going to stay there with my beautiful wife that you're going to provide for me. And Lord, we're not sure if we want any children yet, maybe one, but might be a bit uncomfortable, so let's just say one for them at the moment. And I'm going to have a nice job somewhere in Cape Town. God, you know, my heart is just in Cape Town. You know, I have to be here. It's just beautiful, the sunsets and the beach, and I just love it, Lord, and it's beautiful. And Lord, I really like that Golf 7, eh? So I'm sure I can make enough to, like, actually buy myself a Golf 7. Sure. I just got some more authority. So Lord, I'm going to buy myself a nice Golf 7. I'm going to have this wonderful house. I'm going to stay in Cape Town. I'm going to have a nice job, Lord. You're going to bless me and provide for me. Then the house must kind of look like this and this and this and this and this. And I'm going to go into detail. And then every year, Lord, I'm going to save up, and me and my wife, we're going to go overseas once every year. That'll be just great. We're going to see a different part of the world every year, and we're just going to love life together and have lots of fun. And then after 5 years, Lord, we'll have that one kid, and we'll look after him, and it'll be great. So my life, here's my life, Lord. It's going to look something like this. Don't you think that's awesome, Lord? Like, I've worked hard and stuff, and this is my life, and it's going to be godly and great, and it's going to be wonderful. I'm going to get married. I'm only going to have one wife, and this is going to be beautiful. But if we have to take up our cross daily and follow God, if there's a call on our lives to lay down everything for Him, and if the Word says, and I'm going to come to that a bit later, but if you love the world and the things of this world, then you do not have the love of the Father within you. Shouldn't our lives look a bit more like this? Lord, I have studied. I maybe have worked hard, and I've got a lot of dreams and stuff, and I do love the Cape. But Lord, I'm gonna lay all of that down, and I'm gonna give you a blank page, and you can write, Lord, because I believe that what you've got in store for me is the best. What you've got in store for me is the plan that you have for your kingdom's sake. That's what I want, God, because I'm saved. I don't live for myself. And I'm in for this exciting journey where you're going to ride on this thing, Lord. Lord, even if you want to, if you want me to make a lot of money and you say that, I will do that, Lord, but that won't determine where I live. I will live where you want me to. If you want me to live in a massive house in Constantia to reach those people and I can't afford, then I'll do that, Lord. If I have to live in Mitchell's Plain, I'm actually making a lot of money, then I'll do that, Lord. I don't mind. Whatever you want, Lord, because my life is yours. And I want you to write my story. I want to give you a blank page, because I trust you more than what I do, my own dreams and desires. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in your presence this evening, Lord, and I pray in Jesus' name that you would come And that you would open up our hearts to what you want to say to every one of us specifically, Lord. And I pray that whatever that is, that you would prepare our hearts now to receive that. And I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth will be ones that flows from your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. A few years ago, okay, let me start. Ross also asked me to share what I'm going to share with you now in a condensed form. He asked me to share at Durbanville in a series format over the next like 20 weeks. So I'm going to give you like a condensed version of that. And the guys that are in Durbanville also that are here, just keep quiet, okay? Don't tell everyone. But I want to tell you a story about what can happen when you give God a blank page. When you say, God, I don't have plans. If you do, then I'm amped for that and that alone. So I'm going to tell you a testimony. It's not a sermon. That's why I don't have slides on. I'd share a few principles at the end if I get there in time. But I'm going to share you, I'm just going to tell you a testimony of what the Lord did. So me and two of my friends, we know how we were before we were saved, and we know that we are completely useless. And we are nothing special at all. So our only hope is to just say, Lord, come and have your way with our lives. Because then something might actually come of it. And then when my one friend had this idea, he read Acts 8, I think, with Philip. He just went off, like following God like crazy. You can read Acts 8, it's just awesome. And he told me and my other friend Quibus to just go and read that. And obviously our hearts started beating with excitement. And then he broke the news and was saying, I feel in my heart that we should just go on a mission, three of us. I'm going to buy a bucky and you get your passports ready. And then we just meet up and whatever God says, we just go and do for the 3 weeks. And we like prayed about it. Obviously, we're very excited. And the Lord showed us that, yes, we should go. And he showed me a picture of where we were driving on a road in the bucky, and he was standing like with his one foot on the one side of the road and his other foot on the other side with his sword in his hand, just like, you know, keeping us safe on the road as we travel, just saying, go for it. And we kind of labeled it as a holiday with Jesus. He's our dad, and as little children, we would just hop into the back of the car and we would go wherever daddy takes us, and we would have a wonderful time wherever he thinks is best, because obviously that's the best place we could go. So that's what we decided to do, to just see how will it end up. Where will we end up? So I flew up to Johannesburg because they were there. He just bought himself a bucky especially for this purpose. And we met at the airport, and we said, Lord, where now? And we felt we had to go to Botswana. So I said, okay, cool. And we just started driving, and we started just worshiping and fellowshipping in the car, just having an awesome time. And during all of this, the Lord told us that, he told Kulain, we don't have to worry about where we're going to stay or what we're going to eat or anything. You'll sort that out. We just have to go. So we said, okay, God, we'll just go. And as we approached the border, I felt in my heart that once we get across the border, we should stop in a town and just worship the Lord next to the street in that town. So we went across the border and we just like stopped at the first town we could find. It was a very small town called Sherwood, and there was almost nothing there, but we just stopped and there was like a picnic place there, or just like bunkies and whatever. So we just started worshiping there as the Lord just instructed us, not knowing anything about what's going to happen. And the next moment there comes this old lady walking up to us, and I thought, she's going to tell us, hey guys, you're disturbing the peace in Sherwood, like please just go, or just keep quiet, or just be normal. Because you've got much more boldness in a different country, and I guess that's also why the Lord sends us to a different country, because there we're just so much more amped to do whatever God tells us than what we are on our own, in our own country. So, so she walked up to us, and she just looked at us and said, hey guys, are you on a mission? And we thought, well, we don't know actually, but yes, kind of. And she said, okay, well, where are you staying tonight? So she said, we don't know. We'll see whatever the Lord provides. So she said, oh, wonderful. Well, won't you come and stay in our guest house? So we're like being all spiritual, we have a little conference saying, you know, like, is this what the Lord wants us to do? Not do, because we didn't. Yes, we'll stay at your guest house. That'll be just great. And we went. And in this random small little town, they've got this luxury, awesome guest house, and it was empty for that night. So every one of us had our own ensuite bathroom. It looked like a honeymoon suite all the way, and we couldn't believe our eyes. The Lord just gave us the best place to stay that we could imagine. We wanted to bless them and have a braai, because we had one massive pak boerewors. And I went to them and told them, hey, we're going to have a braai for you to just say thanks. So just you can just come over to us tonight. I said, no. Ons het al klaar die vuur aan. You're going to come to our place, and we're going to make you food. We went there, and it was traditional. We thought we're in Africa now. It was a traditional Afrikaans boerewors and braai vleis and braai broekies. And they blessed us so much, and then later that night they were all saved. They loved the Lord. They really seeked Him, but obviously they're very isolated up there. So we just started worshiping with them. We started like interceding with them. The Lord broke things over their lives, and they shared, and it was a whole and with like just the Lord's presence and prophecy and everything that's beautiful, and it really blessed them, and it really blessed us, and we don't really know who is being blessed more right now, but we are quite happy with the status quo. And so we went home, and we slept very well, needless to say. We had one specific worship session where we just couldn't believe what the Lord has given us. So we were in one of our bathrooms, and the one guy was sitting in the massive bath. The other one was sitting on the couch in the bathroom. Whoever has that. And I almost took my wife there for honeymoon when we got married. It was so awesome. And I sat on the toilet because I had to play guitar. And we just worshiped the Lord, just saying, thank you, God. It's just so amazing. And they invited us back the next morning, because we said we have to be on our way the next morning. We felt we can't stay for too long. It's just a one-hour thing. Then we're off again. So the next morning we were there. We had breakfast, bacon and eggs and everything that a Boersian can wish for we had. And it was just amazing. And we were so blessed. We couldn't believe what happened. And then as we drove away, the old Tani just walked up to us, and she just gave us a little envelope. And we said thank you, like a little card key. What's that in English? Like a little card. And so we just drove off in awe of how the Lord has just started this mission. And we I opened the quad, the envelope, and inside was $400 that pretty much covered our petrol for the whole of our trip that went all the way through Botswana, Zim, Mozambique, and Malawi and back. And the Lord provided all of our petrol money on the first day. So we started crying and just worshiping, because we didn't know what a better response there would be to all of those things that is happening the whole time to just start worshiping. So we would just start worshiping the whole time. We just like pulled almost through our car of the road and stopped and worship and just said, "Lord, this is amazing." And we realized that if it's going to be so awesome as this, then we're going to start writing things down. We're going to have to. So we started writing down, and luckily now we've got this whole mission written down, and it's a really awesome testimony to have. So that was the first day, and the unbelief inside of me kind of said, you know, that would be it. You know, like this was awesome coincidence. So now you're going to have it hard. You're going to sleep on the side of the road. Because that's what we were in for. Because if you give the Lord a blank page, you can't have expectations. You can't have any. Nothing. Nothing. You can't even expect someone to get saved, because maybe he just wants you to be on holiday and rest a while. You know, you can't have any expectations. And that's a scary place to be at. But if you trust that he is your father and he loves you, then it's not at all. So the next day, we drove on and we felt we had to go to Francistown in Botswana. We stopped there. The Lord showed us a few things in intercession. We went up on a mountain and we just like prayed there. We came down. We felt we had to go to the parking lot of a mall. So we just drove until we saw a mall, and we drove into the parking lot, and we said, "Lord, we're here now." And the Lord showed us one guy that we should just pray for that was on the parking lot, I don't know, doing what. And we just walked up to him and said, "Hey, can we like pray for you?" And then he broke down, and yes, we must pray for him and stuff. And while we are praying for him, I don't know how that happened, maybe it's a Botswana thing, but they formed a queue in the parking lot for prayer, like behind him. We're like, what's going on here? But we're in for whatever, so here we go. The first one's done, okay, we're blessed, bye-bye, next one. And I can't remember all of them. The last one was the one that impacted me the most. It was a upper class guy and his wife standing there. You could see that they are high society, so it's weird that they would stand in a prayer line in a parking lot, but they were there. And they came to us, and my one dear friend Quibus said something that I thought was the most ungodly thing that you could say right now. Especially to like wealthy people like these, but he felt on his heart he had to say that, so he just told them, if there's anything that God can do for you now, anything in the whole world, what do you want God to do for you? So I thought, oh no, now it's gonna be like a house or a BMW, and we're not in for that. And the guy looked at him, and he said, "I want to be born again." And we couldn't really believe it. But there was a guy and his wife, like mid-30s. And he just met us in a parking lot telling us he wants to be born again. And he had the whole gospel preached to him. And he gave his heart to the Lord there. And we gave him everything that we could in that short space of time. And you met Jesus there on a parking lot. And once again, we are in awe of what has happened, and we felt we had to sleep in Zim that night, not in Botswana. So we were back in our bakkie and heading for Zim over the border and into Gweru. And I remember Kulain also told this specific story last year, so if you remember it, then that's wonderful. And but he saw a vision that morning of a hotel. And in this whole process of God blessing us, we had this thing of we are God's sons. So we are heirs to everything, and everything belongs to us. So which is true, and it's really awesome, but we just felt we could just do whatever, because everything actually belongs to us already. We are his sons, and he saw this picture of a hotel, like it was a building he thought was a hotel that morning. So we drove into Gweru, and we felt we're going to stay at a hotel tonight. The Lord's going to provide for us. So we drove, and like Gweru, like most cities in Zimbabwe, in the older days, there was lots of wealth there, and lots of these massive houses with like tennis courts and like bowling lawns and whatever have you. And it has its fancy vibe, even though you might not think so. And here we see this hotel that looks kind of like God's son's kind of a hotel. We go in there. We come to reception. We say, yes, there's a reservation here for tonight for us at your hotel. Guy's like, okay, what? He says, you know, we first ask him, you know, I can't remember what we ask him first. We ask him that later. I'll get to that. But the gist of the story is, he says, in whose name did you do the reservation made? And Kulain said, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I knew he just blew it completely. But our dear friend behind the counter he started looking actually. And he looked up after a while and said, sorry, there's no reservation like that. And we asked how much is it to stay here for one evening, and it was like $100 US per person. So we thought, 400 US isn't going to go into this. So we kind of missed God there, but that's part of the fun. Because we are children before him. You know, we don't have to get it all right at all. He's still in charge, and he laughed at us, and we laughed with him, and we drove on, and we decided if we can't get that, well, then we're going to look for the fanciest house in Gweru, and we're going to knock on the door, and we're going to stay right there. And that's exactly what we did, and that's exactly where we stayed that night. And they received us into the house, and we prayed for the one lady's ankle at that house, and she got healed, and they got, like, the gospel preached to them, and it was amazing. And the next morning we left again after our second day of Jesus is awesome and having a ball with him. I've got a lot to say within the next 7 minutes. But I have to also tell this one, because this kind of changed my life, this day and each follow-up day. We felt we had to go to Harare, and God told Quibus that he wants to show us his heart for Harare in the heart of Harare. So we went, and we drove straight into the middle of Harare. We parked there. We didn't know what to do, where to go. We prayed the whole time. We didn't get any instructions whatsoever. We just stopped. We saw massive building, the one Kulain saw in his vision that he thought was a hotel. So we stopped there. We thought, okay, we have to, and its name was Genesis, so we thought we should begin here. So we got out and we started walking, And we didn't know what to do. We just walked, and on a specific moment, God told us we have to go left now. And we walked left, and he said, this building over here is significant. It was all to Kobus. And like, there was other things that happened as well, but we didn't have a lot of time now, so I'm just going to keep to the gist of it. And there was no name written on that building or anything, so we didn't know what's happening here. And he went inside to ask what's going on here, while me and Kulani did a few other things that the Lord told us to do that I'm not going to speak about now. And he went in, and he came out later and told us, this is the office of the Prime Minister, Mr. Morgan Tsvangirai, and many of the ministers of Zimbabwe in this building. So the Lord showed us this place. We're going to go in there and like pray, and we're going to change them in this building. And we went in there, and the guy told us, no, we can't enter. We had a long argument with him, and eventually we were in, and we interceded for Zimbabwe like crazy. It was amazing. Then we walked out of there, and two guys came walking out with us, neatly in their suits. The one guy we kind of met them at the door. The one guy was a pastor. It was his birthday, and we linked up with him, and we had a nice chat with him. We've got a very good relationship with him now, and we are actually linking up with the church in Harare, which is amazing. The other guy, and I'm doing this really fast now because I've got 5 minutes. The other guy that we met there, there are many things that I can't share because it's top secret, and I'm being serious. As a, like, for instance, his name and what he told us and everything. But he was Morgan Tsvangirai's right-hand man, in charge of everything underneath him. And we met with him, and we spoke with him, and he wanted to receive us as prophets from the Lord that the Lord sent to like tell him what he must do. That like blew our minds. But he said, he's off to a meeting now, so we must come back later. So we said, we're going to go on a mission now. We might come back in 2 weeks' time, and then we can come and meet with you. If that fits your schedule, he said, that'll be fine. Here's my number. And he left, and that pastor was still there, and we just worshiped God again. We said, let's just worship God, because this was amazing. We just met some of the most powerful people in Zim. And like God showed us the office, and it was awesome. And then we just worshiped there on the stairs of that building. And while we were worshiping, there was like a crowd forming. And Kulain, the next moment, he looked at us. He said, I feel that the Lord wants to heal some people. So he just walks up, and we're standing on the stairs. So it's kind of, And he's like, is there anyone here that's sick? The Lord wants to heal you. Da, 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 da. So like people respond from the crowd. They like line up, eight of them. They're all healed right there. The Lord heals them. Like, I can't believe. And as they get healed, then our pastor would come in. He would lead him to the Lord. If they're already saved, he would link him up with his church that he just planted, and we would pray for the next one, and he would follow up, and we'd pray for the next one. So God organized his own follow-up, and they all slotted into church right there and then, healed and saved, and there we go again. And this all happened within an hour and a half, and all the other stuff that I didn't even tell you about. And we came back later to Zim, to make a long story short. We met up with the second in charge of Morgan Tsvangirai's movement, and had an incredible time where we all ended up on with our shoes off, on our knees, worshiping the Lord, and he accepting everything that we had to tell him from the Lord. And we are still in contact with him and praying with him, and he updates us on what's going on and what we should pray for, and he gives messages through to Morgan sang, we write that we might sing him what as the Lord lays it on our hearts. And we were completely blown away by what God had just done. So that was day three. Day four was just as life changing as day three, but we didn't have any time now. So you can come to Durbanville in the mornings to hear the rest of the story, because it just gets better as we go on. And all of this from a place where we decided to give God a blank page. And what better thing to do with our whole lives than to just tell God at the start of this year, God, here's my blank page. Would you please write on this thing? Because everything that I've got planned, Lord, I'm just going to chuck it because it's rubbish. It's just rubbish. Lord, what do you want? I want that. The things that you've already like told me and given to me, I'm going to hold on to, because that's already put on you. I'm not saying throw everything out now. Just saying, check it and make sure that God is in charge of your life. I've got 1 minute remaining to just summarize something that I wanted to say in 15 minutes. So just bear with me. There are only two ways that should determine the actions of a Christian. It's kind of one way, but I've just made it into two ways. The first one is godly decision-making based on nothing else than the Word of God and its principles. The second one is obedience to the still small voice that you hear inside of you. Any action that you as a Christian take that is not based on that alone is something from your own will in seeking your own comfort or own entertainment. And those things are the things of this world. And the Word says, everyone who loves the world, or the things of this world, do not have the love of the Father within them. So, let's try to get our lives at a place where all the actions we take are based on those two things. On either godly decision making or obedience to the still small voice, because that's how God writes on this thing and how you stop writing on it. Because what God has and what He had for us there was the best 3 week holiday I've had in my life. And me and my awesome wife just went on a 1 week holiday with Jesus like that again this December, and I wasn't quite sure whether to share this story or that story. He's faithful every time, and He blows my mind, and I've got nothing else to say to you than to give Jesus a blank page, to lay down your life every day, and to see the things that He has planned for you, because they are far greater than the things that you have got planned for yourself. Amen. I believe the students have to leave. Am I right? Are there students here that need to leave? Okay, so all the students are excused now. Then I would just like to do. You can go. Nod. Okay, because there's like something happening at Ace. There's a student worship at Ace Francie, like starting now. So I've got orders that you have to go. So we actually done. I just want to end it off. Awesome. I thought everyone would leave. That's great. Is it possible that we can have our band up here? To just play some background stuff. And then it might become a song later. I want to submit to you guys that it is challenging and quite fearful to give God a blank page. Because you know from Scripture that you might die or be tortured if you follow Him. Yeah? So if you're not up for that, you can't follow Him. If you're not really going to make this thing blank without expectations, you can't follow Him. And that's a process I want you all to engage on, is to take this blank piece of paper and write down the fears that are keeping you from actually handing this to the Lord. The things that say, Lord, but will my kids be safe if you want me to go and stay in some other place than where I'm staying at now? Because I made the decision of where I'm staying now based on the fact that I'll be safe and comfortable and it's a nice house. Eesh, was that godly? Like, God, like, would you please come and say what you want? Because no one ever said you would be safe. But you won't have life, and life in abundance, and see the miracles of God and the wonders of God if you try to fit God into your world. So I want us all to just stand and just close our eyes and just mind your own business with God. And I want you to think of the things that are holding you back from that. And I want you to think of the things that you love of this world. Because if there are such things, you need to repent of them. Lay them down. And that series that you are watching, I would like to use very strong words actually, but I'm not going to. But that is a thing of this world where you watch unsaved people doing things that you don't, you pretend you don't like anymore, but you indulge in that. And whatever things of this world that is still holding you, and the fears that you still need to deal with. But God, can I really trust you? Can I really trust you? God, but you know what? What if? That's all fears that we need to deal with. And if we come to terms with the fact that our God, the all-consuming fire, the everlasting one, the creator of heaven and earth, is our dad and in love with us, and He will provide for us whenever we give Him the opportunity, and He will direct our lives to green pastures, and He will give us waters that will make us to never thirst again. If we trust that that's our God, then those fears are wiped away. But I know we are human, and I know there's things we need to lay down before we can boldly give God a blank page and say, God, whatever, just write, I will obey. So if any of this spoke to your heart, if you know there are things of this world that you need to lay down and repent of, then I want you to just come forward while the band is just playing, and we will have facilitators just praying with you while you repent of those things and ask God to come and fill your heart. If you have got trust issues with the Lord, you don't really trust Him enough to just give Him a blank page, you want to be in control of your own life, I want you to come forward as well. And if you want to just once again say, Lord, I surrender everything to you, please come and have your way. Why am I not seeing your glory in my life, Lord? I want to just hand everything to you so you can do whatever you want, because I know I'm not at that place right now. Whatever spoke to your heart about what I spoke about now and what the Lord spoke to you now in your heart, if you want to respond on that, I want you just all to move out to the front right now, and the facilitators, the cell leaders, also just come to the front so that we can just pray with you. Just Lord, I thank you that you work in our hearts, Lord, and I thank you that we don't have to be perfect and we don't have to be exactly like Jesus from the word go. You receive us the way we are, Lord, and we are sinful beings, but God, our hearts cry, Lord, because when we get saved, our hearts yearn to be like you and our hearts yearn to do the things that you want us to do and to not be who we used to be in the world, Lord. And we want to bring our hearts before you, Lord. We want to bring our hearts before you, Lord. We want to bring our hearts before you, Lord, because that's all we can give you, God. And you can change our hearts, Lord.